And now, the Clueless Streamer presents a Clueless Podcast. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and it is now time for a Clueless Podcast. This is your host, Shadow, with my co-host, Zeno, over here.
What's up, everybody?
And we are basking on a new journey of relaunching our somewhat failing podcast life.
Yeah, for what it wasn't doing too bad. It's just like we just couldn't keep to it, you know?
Well, yeah, and then, you know, life happens.
Yeah.
Kind of lost the place to record. Work got busy. Our lives got busy. It's just, you know.
Yeah.
And then 2020 happened.
Fuck 2020.
2020 happened and caused us to stay inside, curled up with a blanket, wondering if we were going to die.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, not really, but as the media portrays it.
It is what it is, I guess.
Yeah. But if you've listened before, welcome back. If you're a new listener, welcome. I don't know how else to segue that.
I mean, just like, yeah, we're going to redo and kind of like tell you guys like what this podcast moving forward is going to be like. Because I feel like just from a personal standpoint, we're going to like kind of change tones a little bit. I don't really know.
Well, I don't know if changing tones would be an appropriate statement for it. But more like, so if we went back and listened to some of our old stuff, and it was kind of embarrassing.
Kind of cringy.
Like, not only just listen to the audio quality of it.
Just how we, like, presented ourselves, really.
Like, I mean, really, we were nervous.
Very.
Didn't really know how to
hell,
do this.
I was drunk for, like, the first half of them.
Yeah. But basically what this podcast revolves around gaming.
Yeah.
What's going on in the gaming world, where we came from as gamers, how we got to where we are, our personal taste on our
sort
different
of a
genres.
Casual approach to the gaming industry is what we were trying to really go off on. Like something not really, I feel like a lot of gaming journalists and a lot of gaming channels stuff are really, like, stuffy and uptight, you know? But we kind of wanted to give a laid-back kind of everyman's kind of feel towards it, you know?
Right, and, you know, we obviously have our own individual opinions when it comes to different topics, and we're not gonna sugarcoat them either. Like, I feel like in gaming journalism, there's either extreme bias or there's no opinion and just flat out, facts.
Well, let's get this straight. We are not claiming ourselves to be, like, gaming journalists. We're just saying, like, in general and that, you know, we just,
We report on stuff that is out there in the world. We have our opinions on it that's going to be unfiltered opinions.
Or just, like, talking about topics, you know, discussing topics. Opinions, like he said, from a more casual, sort of like unfiltered point of view. But like now, I'm kind of regretting doing all that and being unfiltered. And now I kind of like I did our last episode that we did, and I straight up I did like 3 hours of actual research on each topic, and it felt so much better to just whenever something was said or like a point was brought up, like I had shit there, and I kind of want to make it going forward more of that, you know?
Oh, absolutely, but at the same time, it's like, we're doing it from an everyman's, a normal, outside of professional, writer's perspective.
Yeah, we're not professional at all.
No,
yeah.
Nor do we ever claim to be or want to even strive to be, because at that point, I feel like you kind of lose your passion.
Yeah.
And, I mean, even when, before, when I was spending hours researching, I did start to lose my passion on it because I stopped, like, really putting my feelings and just going just factual-based.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad thing, but
we were just responding out of, like, the need to respond rather than the desire to want to respond,
mm-hmm.
You know?
But going forward, we're still going to do some research. We're still going to have it. But we are going to, you know, just be ourselves with it.
We're going to shoot more for a happy medium. Like, we're going to bring to you facts and updated research and stuff like that, but we're also going to, like, if we have an opinion on this, just from, like, our own personal obvious bias, we're going to bring you that. But we're going to make it very clear whether we're speculating or have personal bias before we start spouting out nonsense.
Case in point, like, for the personal bias, how our feelings of towards Bethesda in the last couple years have been. That was a very...
We're not going to talk about my rant on Bethesda.
Or you know, Call of Duty for that matter.
Oh, yeah. We're not going to talk about either. Yeah. You mentioned Call of Duty in almost every single episode, just as a rant.
And you know what? That's not even necessarily a bad thing, because at this point, Call of Duty has kind of been, like, the biggest name in gaming for a while. There's... Out of every gamer out there, everyone knows what Call of Duty is.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to escape it.
Yeah. But so, like, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, we could touch point on, like, the whole, like, Black Ops thing, too. But, you know, we might not this episode.
Right. But just since you threw it out there, Black Ops. Don't you think, like, Call of Duty, Black Ops, Cold War, that's kind of a mouthful of a title, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, for once, the Call of Duty fanboys are finally finding that dick a little too big to choke down.
Oh, okay. Where's that unfiltered part?
It's unfiltered. Anyway, but, yeah, so let's discuss a little bit about, like, where we're at in, like, our gaming... I don't want to say careers, because we're not making careers out of it, but just in our gaming passion, like, where we are as gamers right now. Because we are in we are both very different places than when we first and originally did the podcast. Like, I was a straight-up Sony and Nintendo fanboy.
Yeah, and I pretty much only touched the PlayStation 4, despite having a powerful PC. I still basically only touched it, but whereas now...
And for clarification, because I know, like, almost every single time somebody, a fanboy, says, well, I have a PC, too. This motherfucker had two 1080 Ti's and an i7. He actually legitimately had a powerful PC. Just clarifying that.
Yeah, it's just the versus now where I was on PS4. Like, my PS4 is unplugged. It's gathering dust. I have not touched it in months. I am straight on PC now, as is Xeno.
I mean, pretty much. Yeah, like I said, I was literally just a Sony dick rider. I mean, anything Sony did was great. I would praise to no end. I badgered Microsoft and didn't even think they were going to last this generation, while also just sitting there congratulating Nintendo, because, again, I was a Sony and Nintendo dick rider. But, I mean, at this point in time now, like, I'm more into, like he said, I'm a PC player now. I built myself my own computer a few months back. It's got an EVGA RTX 2060KO in it, which isn't a horrible graphics card. It's actually a fairly decent one. It's got a Ryzen 5 3600 in it, and I'm not saying, like, just because I jumped ship, now I'm riding PC's dick, but, like, I'm sitting here with more of a broad spectrum of, like, Xbox is a fantastic console. I mean, I think Microsoft is doing great things right now.
You mean, like, the Series X and the Series S?
Yes. Yeah, the Series X, Series S. They're fantastic consoles. PlayStation 5, they're doing great things. I mean, I've gotten a less fanboy appreciation for all the consoles.
Right, and I have too, despite, like, I still have a firm disdain for the Xbox One. But
I love my One S.
But looking at the Series X, I'm very compelled to say that if I was to get one of the current gen consoles going on, I would probably side with the Xbox versus the PlayStation 5.
I would get a PlayStation 5 simply because I have PC, but...
Well, I know.
But I did not have.
I'm saying just looking at those two, taking the PC out of it, I would probably go with the Xbox. But we'll get into more of those details a little bit later.
Yeah.
But that's just where I stand. And again, I had a firm disdain for the Xbox One. I absolutely hate it.
Yeah, absolutely same here. Like, I would make fun of the Xbox One all the time with you. So, like, we're trying to say, like, we've kind of, like... We're not going to sit here and tell you that we're PC Master Race motherfuckers.
Well.
I mean, we are. I mean, PC is the best place to play. But, like, I'm sitting here and telling you, like, I'm trying to cut out the fanboyism that I had for Sony and Nintendo. Still, my favorite console to this date, and the only console I still kind of play since I got my computer, is my Nintendo Switch, but 100% I am trying my best to just cut out the toxic fanboyism that I shoved so much on this podcast.
Right, because and I'm not gonna lie, I did. I was a hard Sony Dick Ryder too, like even worse than you were.
Yeah, I know.
I hate that, but now that I've you know stepped back, I can grow a little bit more appreciative. But at the same time, now I'm kind of
like you straight up wanted to give Sony that good grade A sloppy top for the longest time.
Yeah, but you know I respect what they've done on both sides. But I don't see myself ever going leaving the PC anymore. Just because of how I switched, where I can step back and still appreciate the console side of things. I don't see myself ever going back. It's not so much a night and day difference now with how the consoles are, depending on your build of your PC, obviously, but going from last gen, it's clearly a night and day difference.
It is, because they're focusing more on frame rate rather than resolution, which is amazing. It's just what they should have been doing. But again, I was for the last like month or two that these consoles were coming out, like I was straight up like barking to the moon that these consoles weren't going to be what they were claiming to be. They weren't. You know, Sony was claiming that this console was going to run 4K, 120 frames per second. Same with the Xbox Series X. So, I mean, I was kind of right. But, like, I am honestly blown away with the performance that these consoles are getting. Like, they're both great systems, whichever one you get. You are not going to be able to put together a PC for the performance and value that you're getting out of these consoles. You're just not.
No, bang for your buck. This console generation, you're actually getting well worth your money.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And that's coming from a firmly PC player. Like you can't really argue that you're not going to get your money's worth.
Oh yeah.
Like
personally, if I still had the choice of having a $500 PC or a $500 Xbox Series X, I'd still personally choose the PC because you can do more with a PC.
Well, yeah.
But I'm not going to sit here and say that it's going to be a better gaming experience.
Yeah.
It's just not.
And it's ultimately, it's going to come down to where you prefer to play.
Yeah.
Like, at this point in the game, the consoles are getting so evolved, and they're just getting more and more PC-like. It's just going to come down to where your preference.
Where are you wanting to go for lunch?
Oh, I don't know. Like I said, you go ahead and pick.
Motherfucker. Ah, shit.
But
or do you just want to go through the drive-thru?
Drive-thru's fine.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, there's our unprofessionalism. We're fat boys.
We're deciding on a place to go for lunch.
Yeah, and we're fat.
What were you saying?
I don't even remember.
Something about like where you prefer to play.
Yeah, the consoles are getting so advanced, and they're getting more and more PC-like, and you can definitely see that on the Xbox, more so on the PlayStation.
Oh yeah, 100%.
But it's just going to come down to preference, and I'm not even going to hate on someone because of their preference at this point. Like, I will still hate on Xbox One fans. I will still hate on them because I could not stand it. I will still hate on PlayStation 3 fans because I absolutely hate that more than the Xbox One. But
the only people I'm going to straight up just fucking, like, hate on and throw shade to is the people that are sitting there going to be telling me, you're a $2,000 PC, can't even do what a $500 console can do. Motherfucker, first of all, you're wrong.
Absolutely. Absolutely wrong.
It's like, it's that's one topic we're going to talk about today, is just the amount of fanboy stupidity that I've seen this console generation coming up. But, like, it's to sit there and legitimately think that your $500 console is going to outbeat a $2,000 or $3,000 PC is ludicrous.
Absolutely. Like, my computer is now like 3 years old. My computer is now almost 3 years old. When I bought it, it had all the top parts in it, and they're all clearly outdated now. Clearly, my graphics cards and my processor are still very good, but they are still outdated.
Thanks to the 3000 series.
Yes, and the i9, as well as the new parts that AMD have came out with, but I will still put my PC up against these new consoles.
Oh, 100%, absolutely.
Granted.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Granted, I I have way too much money invested into my gaming setup, which we are not going to talk about. But still, it is good. The point is, you can't. The fanboys that say that your $3,000 thing can't do what this $500 console can do, it's just straight bullshit, and it's complete ignorance.
It's misinformation.
It's not even misinformation. It's ignorance. They're not willing to accept that anything other than what they believe on their console. They're not going and trying to get the information, so they don't have it to be misinformed.
Oh, those echo chambers. And that's why I made the comment saying that, you know, you were a PC or a PS4 fanboy who actually had a legitimately powerful console. Because I've seen so many comments from people that are like, well, I prefer console and I have a high-end gaming PC and they are gaming on their fucking grandma's old goddamn desktop from like 2003. Or they have a shitty laptop that they spent like $400 on when it's a notebook that's supposed to be used for like school and work, and they try playing games on that and they're like, well, this is a $400, that's an expensive PC. And no, it's not. It's not a PC, it's a shitty laptop. So you can't sit there and tell me you have a high-end gaming PC, but you know that for a fact that consoles are better. Like, no. You have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
No, yeah, at the time, I did prefer my console over my high-end PC. Like, it's just, I can't even explain why. And then one day, I just hopped on my PC and never went back. I really don't even have any rhyme or reason why.
I was getting a PC, let's be honest here.
Well, I think it really came down to when I bought my Valve Index. Like, I don't even hardly use my Valve Index.
I got a PC. That's what happened.
We don't even play together.
I try, damn it.
I know, and it's largely on my fault, but that's comes back to where we're at in our gaming lives.
We don't even play together.
At this point in my gaming life, I honestly just prefer to sit down and play by myself. Like, I don't even play, like, multiplayer shooters anymore. I just sit down and play single-player games by myself.
I've been playing Halo 3 a lot lately.
Well, I will say Halo 3 does look absolutely gorgeous on the PC.
Have you seen Halo 4 yet?
Yes.
I should have fucked that game on PC.
Yeah, I have seen it. I played the multiplayer on there a little bit.
Yeah, I played one match and reminded me how shit it was, and yeah, no.
You know, I still say, like, I don't feel like Halo 4 is a shitty game. Like, in the multiplayer, I don't feel like it is. Like, when it comes down to comparing it to Halo's, okay, it doesn't quite stack up. But as a game, especially on a multiplayer game, it's really not bad. It really is not. Plus, it looks absolutely gorgeous.
All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and grab some lunch real quick and take our first break, and we'll be back.
Yep, please stick around because we're actually going to start getting towards some real topics.
That was just our, like, viewpoint on gaming for the first, you know, since we've been back.
Yeah, and we didn't even really get that much in depth with it. We're just kind of glossing over it because we've only been at this for 18 minutes. And honestly, I feel like we can make an entire fucking episode off of everything that all the changes that's happened. Not just in our gaming lives, but our personal lives in an entire episode.
Yeah.
So, yeah, please stick around. We'll actually come back and get some real topics. So, until then, enjoy some music.
We'll be back.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. And we just took a little excursion after our lunch. Picked up a couple things from a certain store that I'm not going to name because...
We do not have a sponsorship with them, so we're not going to name it.
It's also not that. It's more so we don't get in trouble with our wives. Not that Zeno got anything, but...
Yeah, I was being told to get something. Yeah, I was tempted.
I'm a bad influence.
He really is. But then again, I'm a bad influence on you too, so...
Well, true, because... just go ahead and get it. Just go ahead and get it.
She'll never need to know, even though it's a nice, fancy new keyboard. She doesn't need to know. She's barely ever on her computer.
Right. So, we'll just go ahead and dip back into our topics that we have. And it's a pretty big one. One that we should have, if we'd been recording, you know,
this would have been like a three video or three podcast long topic.
Right, it's, launches of the Xbox Series X slash S.
Right out the fucking window.
And the PS5. So, Zeno, would you like to start off on this one?
In what regards?
Just everything that's we know that's been going on with
it. Well, full disclosure, neither of us were graced with the glory of fucking God himself to get one of these consoles. So, for the most part, we're going off of things that we've read, things that we know personally, like hardware-wise, things that we've seen from other people have said. Just to name this off, the launch was pretty fucking bad.
On both aspects.
On hardware size. Sides of the things. It's not something we can really blame either Sony or Microsoft for. To quote a YouTuber that I watch frequently by the name of Jay's Two Cents, if you ever are in need for any sort of like tech-related or, you know, computer-related programming, go ahead and check out that YouTuber. He's fantastic. He basically asked one of the graphics card providers, AMD, what the hell happened with their launch. So I'm assuming the same thing happened with everyone else. He said on their end that they took the data of the last 5 years of people who were buying these consoles or buying these graphics cards, and they bumped up what the average was for each year, or was expected to be bought, by an additional 20 to 30%. So they expected what they were going to expect to be bought, and then an additional 20 to 30%. And it was just such a monumental unexpected like demand for the consoles because of everybody being home for the C word.
Yeah, so that's, and I think that also has a lot to do with it too, was the quote unquote C word. That it really hindered production as well.
Yeah, it like, did. Hell, Nintendo was just flat out not building or producing Switches for like 6 months.
Yeah, and so on both aspects, from Sony and Microsoft, it hurt. I think it hurt Sony more so, just given the fact of, you know, how well the PS4 did, and obviously the demand was going to be there.
Yeah.
Even more so than it was supposed to be.
I think it was handled by Microsoft a lot better than Sony. Because what happened with Sony, if you guys weren't aware, was Sony set a set date and time for when these pre-orders to go live. Well, yeah, they actually shadow dropped the pre-orders the day before, and bots swept them up like no other. Yeah. But that is a whole other fucking issue right now with scalping bots getting consoles.
Oh yeah, and that has hurt it tremendously on not just for the production to meet the demands, but for consumers to actually get them.
Yeah.
Because the scalpers, if they can get them with their bots, they're turning around and selling them for twice, if not triple.
Triple.
I'm seeing them for
$1,100, I'm seeing them for $1,500. And by at that point, I mean, I know I'm going to sound like BC Master Race when I say this, but you might as well just go ahead and build a fucking computer.
Right, but also at the same time, you know, like you were telling me earlier in the week, that if you got all the extra accessories, all the peripherals and everything for the Xbox Series X, you're still going to be paying the amount to build a solid, reliable PC.
And I mean a solid, reliable PC. Now, before all this, like, C-word stuff happened, before the new 3000 series came out in the short demand, you were not able to read the demand, the price to performance value of these consoles for what he just said, $1,100 for the full decked out Xbox Series X. Now with these new cards coming out, you fully can, especially with a 3060 Ti or a 3070, but the thing is, demand is the problem.
Yeah.
The wrong exit.
You're still going to make it there.
Yeah, we can't wait to hear that
way. What was I going to go? So back to the price gouging from scalpers. My cousin actually bought one from a scalper, a Series X. And he actually got, if you're looking at it from a scalper's price point, he got a good deal. Not saying that it's still a good deal, because it's absolutely not. But he only paid like $700.
Okay, yeah, that's not terrible.
No. but it's still not a good deal for the console itself. But it, you know,
for for price to performance, it's still a good deal. If you're spending less than $1,000, price to performance is still a pretty good deal on these consoles.
Right, but from like a scalper's, like, come on.
Yeah.
The dude that he bought it from was being very generous in terms of their price point compared to everybody else.
Yeah. Everybody else wants $1,000 to $1,500 for these consoles. But, you know.
Also, I know there's another scam going on right now of people on eBay selling pictures of the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X for the full price. And even it even says in the description, you're not paying for the console. You're paying for a picture that I just printed off. And they're still getting away with it. Like, people are still buying
it. That was going on quite a few years ago, back when the original Xbox One was out. And somebody, the story that I remember, somebody sold an Xbox, is what it was saying in the description, and it was literally a box with an X on it, and he paid $400 for it.
Dude, I would have been so pissed, but at time, I'm not a moron, and I actually read description of things before I buy them.
Yeah. But I mean, the same thing's happening on the PC side with all these new graphics cards. I mean, you're seeing 3070s that are $500 MSRP being priced at $750, $800. The 3080s being priced at $1,300. The 3090s being priced at, fuck me, $2,500.
But, you know, you said a 3070 for $700-something.
$700-$800, yeah.
I would still be willing to pay that.
Considering you're getting a 2080 Ti for that, yeah.
I would still be willing to pay that. Now, granted, the business practice is still wrong by every means, and if you do it, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah, because you're still getting a 2080 Ti for $400 less than what a 2080 Ti is for, but it's significantly better considering it has better ray tracing.
Right.
Way better ray tracing.
Right, but still, it's the principle behind it. You shouldn't do it. And if you know, if you're listening and you do this, come on, you know better. You're just making it so much harder for the community.
I can't really down the person for wanting to do this, wanting to make a buck. I mean, like, chase that bag, man. I mean, good for you making that money.
But if they're doing it, if they're doing it because they got it through a bot,
again,
that's another story.
I'm not condoning it. I mean, chase that bag, bro. I'm just annoyed that I cannot get me a fucking 3060 Ti or a 3070.
Now,
those are the cards I'm going
for. If you genuinely was able to get your hands on one legitimately, and you're doing that, I don't have qualms with it. But if you used a bot to get it before the public could even have a chance at it, that's what I'm mad at.
Yeah. And heck, at the store we were just at, we were just in there asking them, like, hey, do you guys have any of these? And the manager basically told us, get here 5 hours early if you want one. We sell out of all 30 series cards within an hour and a half of us being open.
But back to try where they were trying to, they up the amount to try to meet the demands. I actually have some numbers here for you. So, let me look at this. So, on the PlayStation side of things, in the first 2 weeks of the PlayStation 4 being out, Sony had sold about 2.1 million units. For the PlayStation 5, in the first 2 days, they sold between 2.1 and 2.5 million. On the Xbox side of things, which, to be fair, the Xbox One had an abysmal PR nightmare for the launch, which we've covered before, and we're not going to dip back into that. But,
well, let's do a quick recap, since we're doing the rebranding of it. Basically, what happened, if you guys don't remember, was when the Xbox One came out, they went really hard on anti-consumer practices. No trading games, no trading games between people. You have to be always on. You have to have the Kinect attached.
You had to, not only did you have to always be on, but you had to always be connected to the internet.
Yeah.
And if you were trading, like, because they were putting in a program in there where you could, like, loan your game to a friend
for
one time in the entire game's lifetime for 30 days, but once per 24 hours, it had to be connected to the internet, otherwise all games on the console would be disabled.
And the worst part about it is, when they were questioned about this, and when they got heat for this, the head of Microsoft, or Xbox division at the time, who obviously is no longer there, I'm pretty sure he got ousted like 3 weeks after this happened.
No, the next day.
The next day. Well, he basically said, we have a console for people who don't have strong internet. It's called the Xbox 360. So that was the absolute PR nightmare that they went with the Xbox One, which stayed through it until its life cycle.
But regardless of all that, for the Xbox One, within the first 24 hours, they sold 1 million units. And in the first 18...
Xbox Series X?
No.
The Xbox One.
This is the Xbox One. Okay. In the first 24 hours, they sold 1 million units. And in the first 18 days, they sold 2 million. Now, on the Series X / S side of things, in the first 2 weeks... Oh, wait, hang on. In the first 2 days, they sold between 1.1 and 1.4 million units. So, about the same launch, but to a much better reception.
Yeah.
So, I will give them that. They handled things a lot better. But,
well, you gotta throw a minute.
But the demand, they should have been prepared for a demand. A little bit better, more on the demand side.
I mean, you couldn't really expect them to... either party, you could not expect them to have this much demand for either new console.
No.
And also on their side, like, you don't want, if you make, say you made an extra million and a half of these units, and they're sitting on store shelves, or they're sitting on, you know, warehouse shelves, I mean, just collecting dust, I mean, then they're out money. Granted, those consoles would obviously be sold over the lifespan of the console, but, I mean, it's really tricky to get the right amount of what they need at launch.
I understand that.
It does suck for people who really wanted it and couldn't get it, but...
Well, and with the whole big C word going on right now...
Yeah.
Purchasing has skyrocketed.
Yeah.
Online purchasing has absolutely skyrocketed. No business has ever seen this much amount of turnover in a year.
Yeah, I can actually give you some personal feedback on that. My mother, I'm not going to name the company that she works for, but she works for a shipping and receiving company. They said that this year alone has been absolutely astronomically affected by the C word. And it's just, they hired like 3 times the amount of people they had. At her work, she had like 10. They now have like 25 people. Yeah, and in her department alone. And she deals with like customer service.
Uh-huh.
And that's just the customer service alone. So online purchasing and shipping and receiving, like, it is absolutely skyrocketed in terms of like how much.
So we can give them some leeway on that for that reason, and the fact that it did really hinder their production.
Yeah.
Now, if the big C wasn't a factor and this shit happened, I can't really give them much of an excuse.
In my opinion, I really do feel like this generation should have been held off another year.
Right.
I get why it wasn't.
Right.
But well, I really felt like they could have probably held off at least 6 months to a year.
Well, and especially coming in on, like, the PlayStation side, they definitely should have held off, because I've got a list that, a big-ass list of problems that are going on with the PlayStation 5 right now, and I have a list of problems going on with the Xbox Series X, but
I heard a rumor
nowhere
that,
near it.
I don't know how true this is. Please take this with a massive grain of salt. But I was reading some comments that people were throwing around in the rumor mill that Sony never intended on releasing their console this year. They only released it because Microsoft was releasing theirs this year. They didn't plan on releasing the next PlayStation until next year.
That's interesting.
That's a rumor. I honestly believe it, because like you just said, the slew of problems with PlayStation 5. Like we were saying earlier, both consoles are great. They're great. They really are. They're good consoles. Good step up in performance. Good value for the performance. But like, I really do feel like they could have held off for another year.
And you know, yeah, because when I look at the amount of problems each console's facing, the Microsoft, they were better prepared. They were much better prepared. To actually launch the console versus Sony, because do you want me to start reading out some of the issues?
Go for it.
All right. So some of these issues have been resolved.
Yeah, I know Sony for a fact has been dropping like patch after patch and after update on the PS5.
Now, again, some of these have been resolved, And they, some of them have workarounds going on. But some of the big issues that are going on with the PlayStation 5 right now, it has the PlayStation Network connectivity is having issues of the PlayStation 5 being able to actually connect to the PSN both wirelessly and with a Ethernet cord. When you restart your console, because a lot of issues can actually be worked around with doing a reset on your console, it'll stall and basically brick it. There's been power issues going on with both internal components and when you're using an external storage device. It's causing power issues to where it just shuts off. There's been issues with data transfer on when you initially start up a device using both a USB and a LAN cable. When you try to put in the console into rest mode, it's been crashing the console.
Heard about that one.
There's been problems with transferring PS4 data to the PlayStation 5, which I can actually understand that one. Sony's never really been the one to actually go
transferring from console to console. I mean, like that. Yeah.
So I can give them a pass on that one, especially because the console's only been out for a month.
Yeah.
So I can give them. I'll give that one a leeway. There's been problems actually updating the PlayStation 5 controller.
We're not like sitting here and like wanting to say like these are absolutely horrible things. We're just reporting some issues that we've read up on
and showing that, you know, it actually goes to feed into that the Sony was not prepared for to launch it this soon.
Nobody was prepared.
A weird one is that if you're using a headset plugging into the PS5 DualSense controller, people have been hearing popping noises in their headset when navigating through the PS5 menus.
Okay.
Both the new HD camera and the old PlayStation camera for the PS4, even with the adapter on there, it's not really working. Let's see. There's constant crashings and a lot of faulty systems going on in their database. Just being shipped out. The DualSense controller is not holding a charge.
Yeah.
The PlayStation 5 has been known to it starts making weird noises.
One that I heard that I'm actually want to talk more about in depth was I've heard that there's been a lot of overheating issues.
I was actually
PlayStation 5.
That was actually not my next one, but the one after that.
Yeah.
There's been error codes that would be asking you to install the latest software even though it's already been installed. And even after a restart, a reset of the console, and you reinstall it, it'll still say there's an error code telling you to install the newest software. Overheating issues. Now this one I'm not really going to harp on them about, but there's been issues with connectivity to PlayStation Now, which I'm not going to really bag on them because PlayStation Now is not really a great service to begin with.
Yeah, you're kidding. The only one I really want to harp on them is the whole overheating issues. Because, like, one, the console for a console is pretty big.
Uh-huh.
And the reason why they said that they wanted it to be that as big as it was because they wanted to prevent the overheating issues and the loud fan noise issues of the PlayStation 4. So with them having that size, that should have plenty of airflow through the fans of the console.
Oh, and there's plenty of exhaust ports on it too.
Also, have you seen the size of the heat sink in the PS5?
Oh, yeah.
It's massive.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, if for a heatsink, it's fucking massive. So I'm sitting there wondering, like, if it's got the airflow, it's got the fans, it's got the exhaust ports, it's got the gigantic fucking aluminum heatsink, why is it overheating so badly?
I don't know. I honestly couldn't even find an answer to that. But further along, for using it actually on the PS5, people have been getting drift using on the DualSense, on the drift on the sticks.
Yep.
That's
why I bought my replace for in 1 year thingy for GameStop.
It's been failing to read Blu-ray discs.
The fuck?
Yeah, it's been failing to read Blu-ray discs, which that was a big big feature that they could play 4K Ultra HD Blu-rays.
Yeah, Sony fanboys were literally riding that dick all day long.
Which, I mean, I was happy about it, because that means if I was to get a PS5, that means I wouldn't have to spend $300 on a 4K Blu-ray player.
Yeah, I kind of want to watch Godzilla King of the Monsters on a 4K Ultra HD, not gonna lie.
Yeah, exactly. Certain game servers, it's been having issues connecting to them, like Call of Duty Cold War.
That's also been happening on the Xbox side, too.
People have actually been having issues with the console will uninstall your game after you remove the disc.
The fuck?
Exactly. It's been having GPU issues that has been causing flickering to going on the screen while you're playing a game.
Sounds like these cons, like the GPUs are like horribly overclocked from what they're supposed to be.
PS4 games have been being labeled as unplayable.
Yeah, I did read that a lot of PS4 games were having issues on not with the backwards compatibility.
Then there's issues with games crashing and rebooting to a black screen. The console will
that might be my wife in front of us. See that SUV up there?
The red one?
Is it red? Okay, no, that's not her.
Then. It's like orange.
Okay, then no, it's not her. It's about the time she gets off.
The PS4 or the PS5, I'm sorry, will sometimes just simply refuse to install games. And then games are getting stuck in a download queue, and it won't go through.
These all seem like issues that could have like been ironed out for like another month of work.
Mm-hmm. At least another month. Like, some of them are pretty fucking major. Now, on the Xbox side of things, it's got issues, but not nowhere near to the extent. And a lot of them can be solved. That's why I didn't include some of them, is because they can solve with simple updates.
Yeah, Sony has been putting out quite a few updates, so we gotta give them credit for that.
But I mean, like, just simple updates on individual apps and stuff. So, like, EA Play not working correctly. It's just, it wasn't optimized for the Series X right now. So that's just a work in progress. Games are having issues saying that something went wrong, like the Xbox One would say when a game would crash, not giving any specific details. Third-party headset adapters will not let you adjust game and audio chat, or game and chat audio when using a new Xbox controller. The controller is having connectivity issues. Let's see what else. Audio issues with wireless headsets. After leaving a controller untouched for about 10 seconds, it'll just cut out all audio use. It's been having Wi-Fi issues. And powering on while connected to an external storage can result in network loss with both a wireless and a wired connectivity.
Okay.
And then it's been having issues with backwards compatibility.
Alrighty then.
So not nearly the amount that the PlayStation's been having, and most of these are ironed out with just simple updates.
I mean, we're not oblivious to the fact that new tech has issues, but like these are some things that we feel like could have been like ironed out pretty easily if it had been held off maybe a month or two. They're just like they're the little things that are hurting. We feel it's hurting their reputation a little bit.
Well, I mean, no, because remember, everyone expects them to have bugs at launch. I think the ones that are going on with the Xbox, they're not very serious. So I don't think it's really hurting their reputation, because they're actually not even being broadcast really out on social media to the extent like
the PlayStations are. Yeah.
Yeah, that is hurting their reputation bad, because those are major issues. Because some systems that are being sent out are just straight up already bricked before someone even turns it on.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's I don't know. I believe that at least the PlayStation should have waited at least 6 months before it got released.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do agree also that the Xbox probably should have waited 6 months just to simply meet demand. But I understand why they did it.
Well, yeah, and you know what? Honestly, Sony wouldn't have been hurt. Sony would not have been hurt if they had waited for 6 months to another year in terms of sales.
No, they wouldn't have. The only people that would have been literally riding on them to get their new console would have been, like, Xbox dick riders.
Right, because, I mean...
And those were people that obviously wouldn't be wanting to buy a PlayStation because they ride an Xbox's dick all the day.
And I looked at the total sales numbers for the lifetime as of today, that Sony had doubled... The sale, it kept a constant double on sales figures for the units sold. Microsoft had, for the Xbox One, all of them total, had about 54 million units sold. And then on the PlayStation 4, for the PlayStation, PlayStation 4 Slim, and PlayStation 4 Pro, had about 108 million units sold. I think that was the number. It might have been like 110, but regardless, it was,
had to have been 110, because I remember them hitting 110 a few months ago.
Then that might have been it. Maybe it was even 116. I don't even fucking know. The point is, it was over 100 million. It had doubled the Xbox sales. They were not going to hurt by holding off for another 6 months.
Yeah. 100%, yeah. But honestly, like, the whole idea and the whole mindset of these two companies competing is honestly kind of stupid, in my opinion, nowadays. Because, like... You also got to remember, Sony is an ant to Microsoft's fucking giant, you know?
It is. It is to an extent. Microsoft is...
No, it's not to an extent. Microsoft could literally buy Sony with their petty cash.
Well, now, I'm not so sure about that, because Sony has products in...
Sony is worth... 90, I think is what it said, $90 billion. It is a $90 billion worth industry. Microsoft is like $1.5 trillion.
Okay, all right. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Literally,
I still wouldn't even consider that an ant, because you got to think of how much money that is.
You also got to think of how much $1.5 trillion is.
I mean, yeah, but...
That's one of the things that I kind of wanted to bring new to this podcast was the whole, like, I don't really want to compare the companies, like, in terms of, like, console wars anymore, just from my PC side, you know?
Oh, yeah, the Microsoft is, it, first and foremost, has always been a PC company.
Yeah, software company, yeah.
It's always been that way.
So, like, when we bring up either consoles in regard to the other, like, keep in mind, we're not trying to compare, like, oh, you know, Sony sold 50 million more consoles, so Sony's obviously doing better than Microsoft. It's like, we're really not trying to say that.
No.
That the PlayStation 4 did sell better than the Xbox One.
And that's just straight facts. That's not even an opinion-based thing. That's just straight facts on that. And, again, Microsoft has always been primarily a computer, based around computers.
Yeah.
Which, in all facets, everybody has a computer now.
Which is actually where the original Xbox was built from. The original Xbox's expectations are... You know, what was to be a gaming computer for a console price. Uh-huh. Obviously, they didn't deliver that. They just made another console. But that's what I really feel like they're trying to do with the Series X right now. They're really trying to get a gaming console for the console's price.
You mean a gaming PC for a console's price?
Yeah. Did I say gaming console?
Yeah.
Oh, my. But, yeah, just... Like I said, I don't want it to come off as like we're trying to compare the two companies.
Well, no, because until they came into a war with each other, quote unquote war with each other on a gaming console, they were in two completely different fields.
Yeah,
Sony's always been camera, audio, and TV,
and also like other like and appliances.
Basically just appliances.
Yeah,
and Microsoft has been a true tech company.
Yeah. They were doing, just straight-up software. They were doing computers.
Which,
so.
Speaking of Microsoft, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but the guy for my job, the guy that we're...
No, you're allowed to say it. Don't say it.
I don't have a name. I don't have any names. But my job, we build pole barns. And the guy that we are finishing building a pole barn, his son just sold a tech company to Microsoft for $2 billion.
Fucking Christ.
Yeah.
See, that's another thing where I'm talking about. Like, they could literally buy Sony with their petty cash because of the whole...
He's our age, too.
Them buying Bethesda thing. I'm pretty sure I read somewhere that Sony's entire yearly profits was basically what Microsoft paid for Bethesda.
And I can imagine they didn't have any qualms of throwing that at them, because one, it wouldn't really make a huge dent to them, but at the same time, it takes that away from Sony.
Maybe it might take that away from Sony.
Well, they've went out and said that everything that they have already planned for Sony, Microsoft is okay with them putting out.
Bethesda said that. Microsoft said something completely different. They said games will come to Sony on a case-by-case basis.
Right, but the stuff that they already have announced for them, that Microsoft is allowing them to continue.
Again,
doing.
That's what Bethesda says. Microsoft said the different.
But if they've already entered a contract in there, then they kind of have to agree to it. Otherwise,
depends if there's a contract to begin with. They're the parent company now. What Microsoft wants, Microsoft gets.
But then Microsoft would have to shell money out to Sony to buy out that contract. If there actually is a contract.
If there's a contract. But you got to also remember, I don't think that there are like straight up contracts when new games are coming out. They just go, hey, we want to put this on. I don't think they put it on like a time release. If Sony wants it, then they would have to, obviously, like you just said, put a contract in or pay money to get that on their system, you know?
Well, I'm going to just label them as independent in the studios. Ones that can go either.
Yeah, third-party developers.
Yeah, third-party developers. Would they when they put out an exclusive to that is a contract to them?
Yes, but you also got to remember, this isn't. They're not really doing exclusives with Sony.
I thought they had two of them planned.
No, I've not heard anything about them having any exclusive planned. I've heard nothing about that.
I don't know. I haven't looked too deep into it because Bethesda still has some sour grapes for me.
All I do know is, from what Microsoft said, I think it was Phil Spencer, said that games will come to Sony on a case-by-case basis. I honestly will guarantee you, when Elder Scrolls 6 comes out, that's going to go on Game Pass.
Oh, it most definitely is.
And I can almost fucking guarantee you they're not going to want to give to Sony.
Yeah, you're right, but at the same time, don't you think it would help their stock if they do allow it?
No.
You don't think so? Because no. That's going to put more money into their pocket.
Obviously, it would put more money into their pocket, whether or not they put more money, like, you know, they'll sell more games on the PS5 system. But you also got to remember, they also have to, it would put money in Sony's pocket because they have to pay them a 30% royalty.
That is true. That is true. I think it's ultimately going to come out to see how petty that Microsoft wants to be towards Sony.
Is it really petty if it's your own product?
Money's money.
I mean, you know me. I hate the idea of exclusives on anything. But, like, is it really petty if it's your product? Obviously, Microsoft's not going to be hurting for money. And they might see the... Depending on how much you would put it, like how much you think they could make from Sony, they might wager like how much they can make of putting it on the PlayStation 5 against just keeping it to theirs. And
well, I think
they want to sell Game Pass subscriptions. They don't want to sell consoles, you know.
Well, that's also very true. But at the same time, I mean, think about it. Just think about how much money that would actually bring them in just from Elder Scrolls 6.
Again, Microsoft has so much money, I don't think they really give
a
shit.
But that's the thing, though. When you have money, you always want more money.
Yes, but you also... I just don't think they're going to give a shit.
They might not. They might. I mean, this is only speculation, you know?
I mean, mine's a little bit more grounded in reality, just simply because of the whole attitude that they've been saying about Game Pass, and that their whole focus right now is Game Pass.
Game Pass absolutely.
On PC, Game Pass on iCloud, Game Pass on phones, Game Pass on Xbox. They're saying Game Pass on everything but Sony, so...
And Game Pass is the best, the absolute best... Deal in gaming. Not just deal in gaming, but honestly the best application for gaming.
Yeah.
It's so structurally, it's sound.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
It's so good for your value. Like, it's $15 a month.
Well,
not
only that.
You get Xbox Live, you get all those games.
Not only that, but, I mean, you look at, say, something like the Epic Game Store. It's a much better game launcher. It's more structurally sound.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that it's as structurally sound as Steam.
Oh, hell no.
But it's right up there with it.
Oh, I wouldn't even put it right up there with it. Steam is such a fucking juggernaut, especially on PC. Hell no.
Well, the reason I say that is because even then, some games do have issues with going through the Steam launcher.
Oh, you're talking about just like as launching as like running games.
Yes, yes, okay. That's what I'm saying. Game Pass doesn't have that issue.
I don't know. I've had a few issues with Game Pass, especially in terms of like downloading updates or like.
See, that doesn't even really go through Game Pass. That goes through the Windows Store.
Either way, I mean, you're still launching it with Game Pass, so
you're launching it, but the download
on the Xbox app, you're still launching it from the Xbox app on my computer. So I mean, I can't say for like on Xbox it launches it just from the game library, but I'm pretty sure on PC it has to launch it through like the Xbox app, which is the same thing with Game Pass. That's where Game Pass is coming from.
Oh yeah, it does that, but anything. When you download it, it goes through the Windows Store, and then it runs it through, almost acting like a third party for the Xbox app.
Almost like an Xbox emulator.
Yes, essentially. But it's, I don't know, it just seems like it's built so well, that it runs things so well.
I can tell you one thing, it's definitely built better than a PlayStation Now on PC.
Oh, my God.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I love the fact that I can play Sony exclusives on my PC, but, like, Game Pass and the Xbox app on PC is 1,000 times better running.
Oh, well, not only that, Game Pass on PC has PC versions.
What the fuck were we even talking about? Like, Jesus Christ, we just went on a fucking rant.
I don't even fucking remember. But the point is, fucking Game Pass, when you're playing a game through Game Pass on your PC, you're playing the Windows 10 version. Versus when you're playing PS Now on your PC, you're playing the PS3 or PS4 or maybe in the future PS5 version of the game.
Okay, well, here's something to wrap your brain around. Another YouTuber made a video.
I'm not trying to read your messages. I accidentally hit something.
You're fine. Made a video on another YouTuber, but I'm not going to say the YouTuber who made the video, but I'll say the YouTuber who made the original video. Amazing Lucas. I cannot stand this human being. He's fucking annoying. He is like the most cringy Sony fanboy I've ever heard in my life. He was making a video on PlayStation making a quote-unquote response to Game Pass. In my opinion, I thought that was PlayStation Now, but...
No, because they were supposed to... When the PlayStation 5 launched, they were supposed to be restructuring only
PS... PlayStation... Wasn't it called PS Experience or something like that, where you got like 20 PlayStation exclusive games?
Well, I don't know about that, but
the PlayStation Now or PlayStation Plus subscription.
I don't know the full details of it, but I do know that they were supposed to be restructuring not only PlayStation Now but PlayStation Plus as well.
Yeah, but like they're supposed to be like working on a response to Game Pass. The only thing I give two flying fucks about for this restructuring of Game Pass is if they put this on PC. Because if they put that on PC with all Sony exclusives, I will cry. I want Demon's Souls. That is the only thing that makes me want a PlayStation 5. So,
and honestly, I kind of want a PlayStation 5 to play that too. And I'm not a huge Souls-like fan. Like, I do like the series of how that type of gameplay is, but I really want to. I want to experience the game that popularized the genre.
No, that's not the game that popularized the genre.
It did for the niche.
No, it didn't.
What was it then?
It was Dark Souls. Even for the niche, it was still Dark Souls. Demon's Souls was a very, very, very under the rug game.
Okay, alright, I'm not going to argue with that. You're the fan of the hardcore fan of the series, so I'm not going to argue with that.
Hell, even Demon's Souls, I mean, like, obviously it was touted as a great game, and the people who loved it, but, like, it wasn't even until Dark Souls 2 where a lot of people just didn't even know about Demon's Souls. The only reason I knew about it is because I played through a hell of a lot of Dark Souls 1, then I got into Dark Souls 2, and, like, people were like, oh, by the way, did you know that there was another Souls game called Demon's Souls? Nope, didn't know about that. But yeah, it was definitely Dark Souls that mainstreamed Demon's Souls. I don't know why, but...
I mean, I knew about Demon's Souls before Dark Souls. I'm not even into that as much as you are.
Yeah, I didn't know about Demon's Souls at all until, like, Dark Souls 2.
Huh.
But yeah, it was definitely Dark Souls that threw it into the mainstream. Regardless, everything got compared to Dark Souls, remember?
Yeah. Regardless, I want to experience what started From Software's legacy.
I want to play it just simply because it's the best looking next gen game out there, in my opinion.
Well, like, right, like it looks, and I'm not trying to downplay the PlayStation 5's Demon Souls, but it looks right up there with your 1080p Dark Souls 3.
Oh, I disagree. I 100% disagree. Okay, it looks a little bit better than the 1080p Dark Souls 3.
Oh, yeah, I'm saying it's right up there, because your 1080p on Dark Souls 3 looks so, like, leaps and bounds
over PlayStation 4 over PlayStation 1.
When I was playing Dark Souls 3 on my PS4 Pro, it looks leaps and bounds better.
It looks fucking crisp on my computer. But, like, that was one thing I kind of offended my Sony fanboy.
Wait, should we put, like, a dollar in the...
Yeah, probably.
So, the little inside joke that we have here.
Whenever I mention Dark Souls,
I have to have him put a dollar in the Dark Souls swear jar, which I actually am going to get one. I'm going to get one, and we're going to put it on, and I'm going to start keeping a track. And actually, if you guys listening want to actually tally up...
Fuck you!
And then we can maybe do a split the pot at the end of the year.
Fuck you.
That actually wouldn't be a bad idea, though.
It wouldn't be, but I want to talk about Dark Souls. But, yeah, I think I offended one of my Sony fanboy friends. I'm not going to name him, but...
Is this what I'm thinking?
Probably.
Okay.
And, he was telling me a few days prior, like, dude, Demon's Souls looks so fucking good. It's like one of the best looking games I've ever seen. And I hadn't seen anything on the games because I don't want to spoil myself on it. I actually looked up some YouTube videos of it, and I'm sitting there like... This doesn't look much better than Dark Souls 3 did. Like, I wasn't trying to downplay the accomplishment of Demon's Souls Remake, but, like, to me, I was expecting to be blown away by the visuals. Oh. But then I was talking to him about it, and he's just like, wait a minute, are you comparing it to your fucking computer? I'm like, yeah, I'm comparing it to my fucking computer. He goes, oh my, no, you don't need to compare it to your computer, compare it to PlayStation 4's Dark Souls 3. I'm like, motherfucker!
Well, I mean, to be fair, it's... I really am curious to see what it would look like on a top-of-the-line gaming PC.
Oh, I'm curious to see what it would look like on mine. Fuck a top-of-the-line gaming PC. I want to see what it looks like on mine.
No, I would like to see, because I've seen what it looks like with an actual 4K rendering capture card on there, and...
See, that's the thing, though.
See, I gotta say, like...
That's the thing, though. 4K, it's at 30 FPS. 1080p, it's at 60. So I don't think it looked that much better 4K 30, because I think 4K 30 looks that good.
No, I think you can actually get higher frame rates on there if you disable the ray tracing.
I didn't know you could disable the ray tracing on the console. I just know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's actually a feat, like, in your settings. You can go and disable ray tracing. And
I just thought that there was the two different modes that the PlayStation 5 has.
There's actually a cinematic mode. Actually a lot of settings on there that the mainstream media doesn't need to cover, because they don't. It wasn't broadcast about that. But yeah, you can disable ray tracing to get a higher FPS boost, even in resolution mode.
Yeah, and ray tracing, if you guys don't know, I mean, I don't know how it works on the two new consoles, but I know on, like, the 20 series GPUs, ray tracing fucks your GPU.
Yeah, because
it holds your GPU down, sticks it in, and just goes to town.
There was one that I was watching that was reviewing Spider-Man Miles Morales, and he's like, yeah, okay, it looks fantastic, but if you go and disable ray tracing and do it in the resolution mode, you're still gonna get the same amount of FPS if you do it in the frame rate mode, and you'll never go back to ray tracing on the game,
because the frame rate, like, higher frame rate just looks so much better than higher resolution. Like, it really does.
And I really didn't believe that until I started really diving into my stuff on my PC, because I had a 4K 60Hz monitor.
Hell, I didn't believe that when you told me when I was first building my computer. I'm just like, no, I'd rather be 4K 60. And we got a friend who's getting a computer for Christmas. He's that way, too. He's like, I want 4K 60. And we're just like, dude, trust me. You're going to want 1080p 140 frames per second once you taste it.
Well, yeah, and then I went and... Because originally was 4K 60 on my PC. And then I went and got a 1440p 144 refresh rate hertz, whatever you want to fucking call it. Because it's all the fucking same stats on there. Because I know they're different stats, but they're all the same on mine. and I get regularly 144 FPS on my games at 1440p, and it just kicks the shit out of my 4K 60.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Like, I've been playing Doom Eternal on 1080p. It's around 120 FPS on high settings. It looks so much better than any console did. Like, when I see people playing on, like, Xbox One or PS5, or PS4, sorry, not PS5, or, like, Modern Warfare Warzone, when I switched over from Xbox and PlayStation over to PC, and I was getting, like, 70, 80, 90 frames a second, and it looks so much better than it did on the locked 60 that the PS5 or PS4 and Xbox One had.
Right, and that's why I kept my 4K 60 monitor for the games that are locked at 60, because all the Resident Evil games that I have on my PC, minus Resident Evil 5, you know, I have everyone besides 1 and 7 of the main entry games. They're all locked at 60. Resident Evil 5 is the only one that is actually allows you to go higher, and that's why I'm using my 4K monitor for, is those games, because I'll still get 4K 60. I'm not going to run 1440p 60 if I can get 4K out of it. Yeah. If it's locked at that. That's just me.
Right, and we were talking about the launches of the consoles?
Yeah, we talked about the launches of consoles, how abysmal it was kind of for a consumer and a production standpoint.
And why we kind of felt like it should have probably held off for a year.
Mm-hmm. But and then we got into random bullshit of us talking
about Game Pass, PlayStation Now, PlayStation
which
Plus.
Which we always do. That's inevitable. I mean, if you've listened to us in the past, or you're a new listener, you're gonna find out that, you know, we get off on tangents that oftentimes have nothing to do with what we originally talked about, and we get into these heated fucking debates about things too. And yeah, I think it's good rapport. Honestly, I think it's good rapport.
Because honestly, like, I find it pretty entertaining. Like, that's just me.
Yeah, like my wife, when she listened to us, she was like, I love the dynamic that you guys have. I love it. Like, I could actually sit here and listen to everything you have, and I don't know jack shit about games. So that made me feel good.
Yeah, same. But I think we have one more topic we were going to discuss, weren't we?
Oh, yeah. You had your little...
Do you want to go ahead and take another break, or do you want to just keep going?
You know what? I don't think that that's going to fill up that much time. So okay. We'll go ahead and go into it.
Okay.
Especially because I don't really have no facts behind it.
Okay, I don't really have any facts behind it either. So we got news from the Game Awards, I think is when this trailer dropped out, was be a new Mass Effect trailer. It wasn't a very long one. It was kind of like a little teaser. I'm pretty sure all it showed was an unnamed Asari. A lot of people are expecting that it's Liara, but it's an unnamed Asari that picks up an N7 emblem, and then you just like see her looking at the stars or something like that. I don't really know. I didn't watch it. But I really want to talk about like what this could mean for Mass Effect from a huge Mass Effect standpoint or fan.
And know? I just want to point it out into the air that I told you there was a new Mass Effect in development, and you didn't believe me.
Well, I never heard anything about it. I heard about the remake, I'm really fucking excited for that.
Yeah, it was announced on N7 Day.
But so. Where can this game take us?
I'm not a fan of the series. I never claimed to be. I probably never will be.
Where can this new game take us, story-wise?
As long as it takes us into a positive direction for the community of the Mass Effect fans, I think it's going to be a win.
Honestly, fuck the Mass Effect fans.
but...
I mean, seriously, like, the Mass Effect fans are some of the most... toxic, just absolute, I don't know what the fuck
yeah,
I want
what?
Group
that's,
of people.
That's fans of every community nowadays.
Yes, but like, goddamn. So, I'm part of the very, 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 very small group that actually enjoyed Andromeda. I thought it was a fairly decent game. I did not think it was the best game ever. I did not think it let up. Built up to the hype that it was built up, and I do not think it lived up to the Mass Effect legacy, but I do believe it did its job.
And by the way, that's the house I grew up in.
Oh, Oh, nice. Yeah. We're driving around, people.
Yeah, we don't have an actual recording studio anymore.
So we're just kind of driving around.
Yeah, so this is how we're going to do things. So if it sounds like shit, you know, don't blame us.
But it definitely did what its intended job was supposed to do. They were completely leaving behind Shepard and the Milky Way, and they were trying to establish and set up a brand new galaxy, a brand new universe, a brand new lore, basically almost a brand new game in almost every single way, which I thought that they did a fantastic job of. Yes, there was bugs, yes, there were glitches, yes, there were issues, but it was a good stepping off point. Now, part of me really kind of wants them to continue the direction that Andromeda was going and explore the Andromeda galaxy a little bit more, but part of me also does want to go back to the Milky Way. I think that's what we're going to be doing, is going back to the Milky Way, since people were so pissed off at the Andromeda thing. But, like I said, we don't really have any facts, we don't have any evidence, we don't really have much of anything right now to go off of other than a tiny little fucking teaser. That's it, so I can't really say much more. I can just speculate and give my hopes.
Well, what are your hopes exactly?
What are my hopes exactly? I don't want the Reapers to come back. I honestly liked how they left Mass Effect 3. It was very ambiguous. Unless they're going to continue the war with the Reapers, they need to leave the Milky Way alone.
You know, just from an outsider perspective, I'd probably be more interested in seeing it continue in the Andromeda Galaxy. Same. Just from an outsider, because you already had three games centered around the Milky Way.
Well, here's the thing also. All three games were fantastic.
Oh, I'm not disputing that.
Mass Effect 3, the way it ended was...
Hey.
Huh. Hey. No. The way it ended was... They left it kind of open-ended, but not. Like, and they kind of try to, like, finite the answer, give it a definitive answer of what happened. But the definitive answer was, basically, if you took off with how they repatched it, the universe of Mass Effect was in shambles. The Mass Effect relays were gone, which that meant no faster-than-light travel in the galaxy. And what was left of the galaxy's fleets and warships and species was basically nomadic now.
So what was the canon ending of 3?
I cannot tell you that. I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
I can just tell you that was just basically what they patched. So at the beginning, the original ending was you got a different color of either joining with the Reapers, destroying the Reapers, or controlling the Reapers. The theory was that if you chose to join with or control the Reapers won.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. So I was...
Because of the whole indoctrination.
Yeah, I'm just curious of which one it actually... would be canonical.
If you chose to destroy the Reapers, that meant you broke free from the indoctrination and you destroyed the Reapers. Simple as that.
Huh.
Canonically, I'm pretty sure you choose to destroy them. And like I said, the fleets of the galaxy was a fraction of what they was when you brought them together to fight the Reapers. And Hackett had his speech about rebuilding this and that. And they're all kind of like, what next, you know? So in my opinion, if you're going to revisit the Milky Way, you kind of need to retcon the ending to whether give us a definitive answer that the Crucible actually destroyed the Reapers. Like, wiped them out. Or the indoctrination theory was actually correct. Shepard was indoctrinated for the last 2 hours of the battle. And everything that happened in the last 15 minutes was all in his head. Because they gave plenty of evidence. And I mean way, way fucking too much evidence for that not to have been the ending. With the little kid constantly appearing up in the show or in the game. The constant Reaper noises that he heard in almost every single mission. The fact that he survived a Reaper's fucking full-on cannon to the face. With just destroyed up armor and was able to walk. The fact that his chest was seen taking air at the on Earth, even though he was up in the Citadel, which was in high orbits above the Earth. No way would he have survived that fall. So, I mean, and the crucible, or the Citadel was in absolute tatters. Like, it was in pieces after they fired the crucible.
Huh.
So, with all that evidence, there's no fucking way you can sit there and say, well, yeah, the indoctrination theory has no merits. Bullshit. So that's where I think if they want to continue a good story writing, they should start with there.
So you think Shepard was going to come back if they go that route of coming back to the Milky Way?
If they come back with the route of the Milky Way, yeah, Shepard will probably be back. Shepard was a large part of why people loved Mass Effect so much. Do I think he's come back? Absolutely not. We don't need to play another round of Space Jesus. And actually, that's why they went to Andromeda, is because they wanted to leave Shepard's story alone. Andromeda was supposed to be the start of a new trilogy.
Well, I guess right now we have to wait and see if it actually is going to play out that way.
That's why I'm hoping we're getting Andromeda too. Because intentionally, some people will argue that this wasn't the case, but originally Andromeda was planned to have two DLCs.
It didn't have any DLC?
Nope. They scrapped it all. They actually scrapped all support of that game 6 months after it came out.
Wow.
Because of the incredible, toxic, just absolutely fucked up response Andromeda got. And I don't mean, like, criticizing the game was toxic. The game had its flaws. 100%. Feminists, the head lead designer who had no merit being a head lead designer, was an obvious feminazi, you know. There was some, like, obvious, like, stupid bullshit put in that game just for stupid bullshit's sake. But they were getting death threats for this shit. Ruining the game, which are never merited.
No, that... Dude, it's a fucking video game.
Yep.
You should not... I don't care who you are. Stop giving people death threats over video games. Yep. It is not that serious, bro. It really is not.
And like I said, the game wasn't even that bad. I enjoyed it. I'm actually thinking about restarting it on PC. I never finished it through on PlayStation 4 because I always got sidetracked about halfway through. I've tried to start like 3 times. But I'm actually thinking about going ahead, since I have EA Play, starting it again on PC, because it was actually not a bad game. Like, the amount of freedom you had to customize your character, like, build-wise, was really good. The only thing that I really didn't like about the game was the cast of characters. I didn't care for any of the party members you got. And that was a big reason why I loved the original trilogy. But that's... I mean, I didn't really give them a chance because of how much I loved the original trilogy's characters. So that's more on my end. I actually... I'll take it back. I liked the human commando, whatever her name was. Cora, I think was her name?
I don't know. I never played it.
I think that was her name. I don't know, she had like a half-shaved head with blonde hair or something like that. I liked her, I thought she was a pretty cool character. I liked the Krogan. He was an old war-torn bastard. And I kind of liked I don't remember what the bird people are called, Garrus Vicarian's race. I liked her, but everybody else kind of sucked.
Well, I guess... I guess only time will tell about what we're going to get. I mean,
I'm very excited, but I'm also very nervous.
I mean, I think you have every right to be. Just like I'm kind of nervous about, you know, the new Dragon Age.
Yeah.
Just because of what happened with Andromeda, I'm kind of nervous about the new Dragon Age.
They actually showed a little bit of a trailer about it, and a lot of fans were complaining that it doesn't even look like Dragon Age. Which I need to finish. I need to be Inquisition.
So do I. I just bought it on the last sale on PC, so I'm going to.
I have it on EA Play.
So.
But there's so many games that I've started and I need to finish right now, especially on PC.
Okay, sorry about that. We had hit our recording limit. I was trying to get speeded up, but
we spoke a little bit about Mass Effect, a little bit of Dragon Age, and some worries and whatnot. But we don't really have time to go ahead and re-record that all.
No, because all I know is I remember the last thing that we were saying, that, you know, we're worried about, or Zeno's worried about the new Mass Effect with the Andromeda debacle. And
TLDR, I thought it was a pretty decent game. It had its issues, but I honestly ultimately thought fans ruined it.
And then because of the whole Andromeda, the, you know, bullshit going on with
we're worried about Dragon Age 4 and the new Mass Effect.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know how much exactly we lost in terms of time, but I don't think it was that much. So, we apologize for that. It's our first time back. Kind of, I guess you
this
can...
This is kind of impromptu, to be honest.
Yeah, and so you can kind of punch us in the dicks if you want. I mean,
kidney shot.
I think that's a little bit farther north, but...
Give you a bridge for you. Kidney shot! Kidney shot! Kidney shot! Kidney shot!
All right, but... With that being said, we are back. I'm Shadow.
I'm Zeno. Check us out on our YouTube and our Twitch. I think I'm going to go ahead and start a completely new Twitch, to be honest.
Yeah, we'll provide links in the description where you can follow us. If you want to keep up with us, you can always subscribe on the various platforms. All your podcasts are going to be on, you know, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Overcast. We'll be there. Just follow us at TCS Presents A Clueless Podcast.
Hell yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
All right, guys. Stay clueless.